from the second floor in the Duncan Student Center. We welcome you on a gloomy Friday morning here just before fall break to the return of Five for Fighting Irish here on WVFI. I'm Andrew McGinnis, joined by Tyler Reedy and Ryan Murphy and Jacob Irons in support.
Producer extraordinaire Jacob Irons.
Let's go. Let's cross that blue line.
Jake, what do they say in hockey?
Fuck it.
No, it's let's do that hockey.
Oh, excuse me, that was my bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Has not seen enough SNL.
Not really.
I think fuck it was the better option.
Yes, but it's the pop culture reference.
No, I can't. But have a great show. I got them in. So.
He did get us in because I did not know what the new code was. But yeah, I used to do this hockey talk show by myself the first 2 years before I knew either of you guys. It had its moments, I guess. I had some good guests on. Like, I think it was them still with Maine Mariners, but now current GM of the undefeated 1-0-0 Philadelphia Flyers, Danny Briere. Yes, that is true. Did score that that Game 7 insurance goal against Boston in 2014.
The French folk in Montreal still talk about Danny Briere because they loved him so much while he was there.
First NHL player to have the accent on his jersey, I believe.
That's true. I think you're right about that.
Yes. So I'm joined, of course, by resident Canadiens fan Ryan Murphy. Yeah, that was the case. That was the first time around. Yes, and
big reason for that.
Yes, Tyler, I am hyped on one player and one play only. Blackhawks fan Reedy.
Yep. You know who we're talking about. If you watched, it was the most watched ESPN game in quite some time. Tuesday night, the Blackhawks Penguins game. I am a Chicago Blackhawks fan, so Andrew McGinnis and I will surely talk about 2010 a few times here.
I wasn't even a hockey fan back then.
we'll make you a hockey fan.
I have like
then.
Two memories from that run, and one of them was game one being the same night that Roy Halladay threw a perfect game.
Oh, okay. So you had something better going there, at least.
2010 is a painful year for two-thirds of us because we lost to the Flyers, and then the Flyers lost.
And then there's us.
So there's just to lord over 2010 on top of the two of us right now.
Yeah, I mean, we will certainly. I mean, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that point until you brought it up. Yeah. 2008.
I try to forget about it.
Yeah. 2008 as well. Yeah. Round two that time. Danny Briere had a big goal in that series. Yeah. Probably had multiple, honestly. Knowing what he always did in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yeah, as you may have guessed from the name, this is a hockey talk show. We'll be doing a little bit of everything hockey related, some college stuff, obviously. Notre Dame, two games into its season so far, 1-1-0 record for them on this year. We'll also obviously be talking NHL, puck dropped on Tuesday. I think most teams have played one game so far. I know the Caps start tonight. The Islanders on social tomorrow, which is weird.
I don't quite understand that. I was talking to one of my friends who's a Capitals fan, and it was Tuesday, and they have to wait till Friday to get their season started, and they play the Penguins, who have already played on Tuesday. That just doesn't make sense.
Maybe this is like the NHL doing the opposite of what they did a couple years ago when they started them with that 16-game road trip. They're like, all right, this time we'll give you some rest.
I mean, it's a total opposite of what Major League Baseball does. I mean, it's everybody, essentially, except for this year.
Well, yeah, but baseball is almost everybody every single day.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the vast majority of teams are playing on one day to open it up. You would think that more fans would like that, but I think the goal there with the NHL was to get those triple headers and get the ratings up on ESPN TNT right away. Not have too many games out there. Get your marquee matchups out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's a national game though, I don't think. Anyway, for the Caps and Islanders, I mean, I could be wrong about that. But
yeah, I'm just saying Tuesday and Wednesday. Get your Nationals in there.
Yeah. That makes sense. Jake with some producing help.
Technical support.
Yeah,
listening in that VFI studio.
I knew I didn't hear Murph in my headset.
There we go.
Oh, you couldn't hear me in your headset.
Yeah,
okay.
So I knew something was wrong, but I wasn't sure how to troubleshoot, so I was like, I'm just going to go with it. But yeah,
don't worry, now
you can hear our resident Habs fan. Resident Habs fan, I am our North of the Border representative.
I am here. Happy to be here.
Opening day for everyone.
What would we do without?
Yeah.
What would we do without Giants?
Exactly.
Our technical support. You got us in here. Technical support director.
Yes.
Shout out Giants.
Shout out Giants. Yes, Murph representing our friends to the north. I've visited twice. I've never been to Montreal, though. I've been to Western Canada, been right past the Saddle Dome and right past Scotiabank in Toronto. I was in Ottawa, but I don't think I was running your Canadian Tire.
My roommates are from Maryland, Virginia, and Tennessee. And
all over the map.
I can't quite explain to them why I have a Canadian flag in our room to an extent that they can understand it. But while I'm American through and through, I do tend to represent our friends north of the border more than I probably
Canadian
should.
By proxy, we should declare.
Canadian by proxy, sure. Sure.
But yes, so why don't we go ahead and get started with our very own Notre Dame Fighting Irish, usually one of the top programs in college hockey. The last couple of years have been a little inconsistent. They haven't played an NCAA tournament game three of the last four seasons even. I mean, the one was canceled due to COVID. I mean, they weren't going to make that one. The 21, they made it. They shouldn't have made it. And then the team got COVID, so they didn't play. And then 2022, they had a decent little run. And then last year, very inconsistent. Like, split basically every series. Kind of had a good run at the end of the regular season, but then fell apart in those last two Big Ten tournament games to Michigan State. And that killed their chances. What do we think so far, two games into the season, early impressions?
Well, I think there's definitely going to be some growing pains. And it's, I mean, we know that with nine newcomers coming in and the vast majority of those being first-year players. It's tough to kind of stomach that at first because, you know, we know from last season how important it is for this team to start fast, especially in non-conference. And, you know, we're already only 3 weeks out from that conference opening series at Penn State, so it's going to be important to start fast and not put yourself in another position like last year where you've got to, you know, sweep Ohio State and go to Michigan and get points in the final week, because it's going to be Minnesota and Michigan to end this season. So
fun,
yeah. You've got to create an identity pretty early on and not force a lot of wins down the stretch like last year, because that worked for a while, but eventually the Big Ten's good enough, it's going to catch back up to you. But you know, there's some talent there. We've already seen several of the freshmen showing out. I really like what I saw from Jaden Davis in his debut against Clarkson on Sunday. He ended up scoring Notre Dame's first goal of the game against Clarkson there. Maddox Fleming was good in that game as well. Brennan Ali, those three were on a line together in that Clarkson matchup. I know, Murph, you were excited by those three as well, along with me. But you know, you've got a solid returning core. Landon Slaggart's already scoring goals, which is a huge...
Much needed.
Yes.
After last season, especially.
A huge thing to have right now, yeah. Slaggart down to, what was it, 7 goals, 6 assists a season ago after putting up 20 points each of his first 2 seasons. You know, the guy's at least what was a top-tier NHL prospect, maybe not so much anymore, but there's still a lot of hype around what he can do, what he can bring to the table, and now he's got the C on his jersey. He's got a lead, and he's off to a very good start.
I mean, this is kind of like a contract year for him, essentially, because he's fighting for an ELC.
No question.
And it'd be a boon for this Notre Dame team. I mean, it wouldn't even be a boon. They need him to score this year, and he was part of the reason of last year is that he couldn't get that production. Yeah. But no, I you know, this team really fascinates me because I just think it's so different than the way that Notre Dame has been in the last few years with the newcomers. And it's a little bit of a breath of fresh air. Like, you know, if there are very few times you get in a program, aside from like a coaching change, right, where you kind of get to hit the reset button. But I think Notre Dame, with the amount of newcomers they have, particularly the amount of, like you said, those freshmen, the amount of talented freshmen that they have that could be here, you know, for a few years. It's not Minnesota, Michigan level where you're worried that they're going to leave at the end of the year, right? Unless they blow us, you know, Danny Nelson and Cole Canoe.
That's a good problem to have.
That's exactly right. It is a good problem to have. But it's a little bit of a reset. And the team's younger. They're faster. They're, like you said, they're going to make mistakes. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing because, you know, sometimes it's making those mistakes so that you can take a step forward by the end of the season. I think last year, one of the things that vexed the team is they didn't necessarily, in my opinion, and you guys can disagree, and maybe you do, they didn't necessarily get better from start to finish. They were the same team from about November, you know, late November to the end of the year. I think this team from November to March is going to improve drastically across the season just because they have that room and that, you know, potential to improve because they're so young.
know what you're talking about, Ryan. Ryan Bischel got much better throughout the season. He was the team last year.
That would probably be the lone exception, and they don't want them to be the team this year. But, you know, if he needs to be, I think he's in a position where he can be.
He's more than ready to do it. We know that. Already has a shutout on the season.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the first, second, and third star of Notre Dame's season.
He did improve. Like, I remember watching the game against BU last year at BU, and I didn't think he was necessarily outstanding in that game, right? And then later in the season, he's making the 45 plus saves a night, and you're like, this guy's a brick wall. Where did this come from? Mm-hmm. So that was encouraging. And you know, another thing, like, we want to talk about the most important returners. That's number one.
We're going to go around. I think we all have to exclude him. From the list, because he's the obvious pick. A goalie who had a 930 save percentage last year on a team that was getting regularly outshot.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is a consensus pick through and through. I'm looking down the roster here for biggest return. I'll go a little off the board for mine. I'm going to go with Jake Boltman. This Notre Dame team has lost a lot in the back end the last few years. They've kind of lost their leaders in Spencer Stastny and Nick Lieberman. Boltman's someone also an initial prospect, Calgary Flames draft pick. He's always been a solid defenseman for Notre Dame. He's usually been a top four role or so, second pair, right-handed defenseman. He's 21 years old now, getting towards the back nine of his college career.
Totally.
This is a big season for him, and I think Notre Dame, he's going to get some opportunities potentially. I don't know if he's playing on the power play or not necessarily. I didn't get to watch against Clarkson. But if he's not, I feel like there's an opportunity for him to work into that role over the course of the season. And someone who can eat big minutes for Jeff Jackson's team, move the puck well, smooth skater. I think he's really important to Notre Dame's transition game, and we always know it's a big part of what the Irish like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like listening to Coach Jackson this weekend, it was like he would just talk about transitional defense, transitional offense. Like, you're absolutely right. So I'm gonna pull a Lee Corso. Good pick, Andrew.
Thank you.
I'm kind of split. There's two parts of me. There's the part of me that I think the defense, the returners on defense are going to be important, like you said with Boltman. But since you talked about Boltman, I think it's the same idea I'd go with. So I'm going to go towards the forwards. I'm going to say Justin Janicki. Just a guy, and I liked his game this weekend, particularly on Saturday night when I felt like the team had a lot of nerves and they weren't quite possessing the puck maybe like the coaching staff would like them to do and like they need to do to win games this year. He was a guy who, would, there were a number of shifts where he took control of the puck and possessed it and ended up creating opportunities in the offensive zone. He brought it into the offensive zone with possession, held on to it, and created an opportunity. So I really liked his game on Saturday. I thought he was good on Sunday too. And just if they can get goal scoring from a guy like Justin Janicki, that would be huge for this team. Yeah. And it's about getting goal scoring from those returners. I don't know the exact number that Janicki scored last year.
Seven goals, seven assists.
Even if he can, as a freshman.
Right. And if he can build on that, I'm not talking about necessarily doubling that number, but I mean, if he could double that number, that would be huge for the team.
If he can at least make the same leap, another five-goal leap.
If he could get to double-digit goals, that'd be really good for this team.
Yeah. And to build on Justin Janicki, I love that point. That was a player that I was going to key on. He's also a player, just with his family connections, with Trevor already being here, his older brother being an assistant captain now, returning for his graduate season. His father played here as well, Curtis Janicki, 1989 to 1993. Justin's a guy that even if he's not wearing the C or the A, he can show these younger players what it means to put on that Notre Dame sweater and embrace that monogram and embrace playing a Compton Family Ice Arena every night. So that's a big deal. But, yeah, I'll go back a little bit to what Andrew said, because we know at the top of the defensive core, Drew Bavaro's coming back. He'll be a scoring threat. Jake Boltman can really step up. But there's a cast of characters behind him. You look at guys like Ryan Helliwell and Michael Mastrodomenico, Zach Plesinski. Who's going to step up out of that big group of defensemen and really join those top two in Bavaro and Boltman and make this Notre Dame defensive core really a stabilizing force in front of Ryan Bischel? Because it's something that Jeff Jackson told us about heading into the season. All these young players up front, there's going to be some moments of turnovers, not protecting the puck as well. You're going to have defensive transition. We saw that in the opening goal of the season. Clarkson scored Saturday night. So if the defense can make up for that with their experience and ability to step up into this season and find some bigger role players this year, I think that'll be a big difference maker.
Notre Dame, of course. Oh, we have a brief intermission.
May
here.
I just say on one thing on Justin Janke? This is my he was my freshman mate in Ziggy. Ziggy Zaggy Ziggy Zaggy.
Oi, oi, oi.
Thank you, Mr. R.A. McGinnis. I will just say there is not a person that wants it more than him right now. I think he is a top 10 candidate of who could take that next leap. You saw him. He's aggressively skating. You saw it against Clarkson on Friday, that first opening game. He came out firing. He was going up and down the lines like nobody's business. And understand, once again, it is the first game of the year. You have a little bit of a pumped energy, but there shows a commitment there for him right now that he wants to go up and down the ice. I love the JJ pick. I think Justin Janke, this will be my thing. He will be a double-digit goal scorer this year. I think I will call it. I think he understands that junior year, this year, for his NHL contract, will be the make-or-break year. Give me Justin Janke with 10 goals. I'm out of here.
What odds can I get on that?
Write it down.
I don't know, but I will buy, if he doesn't.
Shambookie?
If he doesn't, I will buy everyone in here breakfast, and we'll go someplace nice.
Okay. Ooh.
Mark it now.
Thankfully, the show is being recorded.
Sorry to barge in. Love JJ.
Senior executive producer. What is your role? Senior barge in guy. Yeah,
jack of all trades.
The barge in guy.
I'm just the guy that has the code.
our very own Chris Felica.
He's the most interesting man in the world.
Jacob Irons, we might have to revoke his. We have to change the code for hockey show times.
Keep him humble. So Notre Dame, fittingly from last year, starting its season this year with a split against Clarkson.
We don't sweep. We aggressively split.
Hey, do we win an aggregate? I'm not even sure.
Yes, by one.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that late in the third period. I was like, we need one more goal to win on aggregate right now. One more goal. And I was sitting with our very good friend and soccer enthusiast, JJ Post, and I turned to him and said that, and he very much appreciated that comment. He's like, why doesn't college hockey do aggregate? And I was like, I don't know, JJ. I don't know.
So Notre Dame is unofficially 1-0 on the season, beating Clarkson 4-3 combined in the two 60-minute matches they play within it. There was a 3-1 Clarkson win to start, then a 3-0 win for Notre Dame to finish it off. Landon Slaggart with 2 goals, Danny Nelson, Jaden Davis, 2 of the newcomers with goals as well. Ryan Bischel, just a casual .957 save percentage.
No big deal.
Ho-hum for him at this point.
No big deal.
Not going to lie, I did not have a chance to watch either of these two games. I know you guys did. Thoughts?
I mean, we know Bischel's going to be composed again. I mean,
he
still looks like a rock. Again, those some of those freshman lines, you talk about Danny Nelson, the goal he scored with Grant Siliñov on that driving play to the net on Sunday, looked really impressive. I'll be interested to see what Siliñov can do heading into this season. Kind of more of a physical, grittier type of player. Scored a couple big goals for Notre Dame last year. You look at the overtime winner against Michigan. You look at the one goal in Notre Dame's one win over Michigan State in the postseason. I think he could be one of those players, along with Hunter Strand returning, that could really step up. But those freshman lines, especially, we haven't even really gotten to Cole Knuble yet.
No.
Yes,
no.
Philadelphia Flyers prospect.
Yeah.
It took 25 minutes
I know,
for us to say Philadelphia Flyers prospect Cole Knuble.
Yeah, it was a pretty quiet weekend from Cole Knuble.
It won't take 25 minutes for me to say it again.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a lot of new players on this team. You know, I think everybody is going to have their moments at some point within this first month. And then after that, it's going to be a matter of who can do it more consistently. But I was impressed by a handful of these first-year players coming out of Clarkson, but I'll be interested to see, hey, can you go out there, do it again more, and become a consistent producer for this team?
Yeah, they'll have a tough test this weekend at RIT. But, no, I was, to be honest with you, I was encouraged by this weekend. You know, I think, and maybe this is because I am by nature someone who is a natural optimist. Like, if I see potential, I'm optimistic about it. And I just think this team has so much potential, and I think they showed it. There were a lot of areas where I thought on Sunday and even Saturday night, I know they failed to score more than a goal on Saturday night, but I felt they played better hockey than at times last year. You know, I thought the way they transitioned up the ice, the way they played in their own defensive zone. I mean, Ryan Bischel did not face a shot from the interior on Sunday night that the stat broadcast recorded. Now, I don't know exactly the number. I'm sure he did face one, but it wasn't many of them. Now, Notre Dame did a good job of that last year of keeping, you know, those shots for Bishop to the outside. But it took a while for them to get to that point. They didn't open the season that way. And then it was just the way they were able to get the puck out of the defensive zone and transition to offense. I think there was a lot of things that the individual talent that I liked. I think Tyler, you're right about Cole Knubel. He was quiet this weekend. And Coach Jackson said that in the post game. I think he was just gripping his stick a little too tightly. Like he wants that first goal so badly. And he's gonna score. Like there's just no question about it. It's there. And it just takes time to adjust to college hockey. But there's the individual talent, and then which I knew I would be impressed with. But the team play, I quite frankly, that's where I thought I would be. All right, well, that's where the improvement needs to be. And they do have things to work on, right? But they were in a far better place to start the season than I think I expected them to be. So in that, really encouraging.
Yep. Only non-conference road game of the year coming up. It is Saturday night puck drop at 7 p.m.
Biggest Notre Dame game of the weekend.
I mean, it's the only one involving national championship implications, potentially.
That's true.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, all of us, I think, will be a little preoccupied during that game, particularly because it's on Flow Hockey and, you know, we got to pay to watch that maybe, but there's something happening over at Notre Dame Stadium, yeah. I think.
Ryan, can Notre Dame Hockey remain a one-loss team and keep its hopes of the 14 playoff alive?
Well, I think they have a chance of remaining a one-loss team longer than, you know, I'll be honest with you. Going into last weekend, I thought there was a greater chance that they would be the two-loss team and not the football team. We shall not speak of the Louisville word.
Ryan Murphy with the preview for this weekend in the Observer. Definitely pick up. It's on the physical one on today because we had it on Wednesday because Murph was kind enough to submit it early.
Of course.
Which we sorely needed for production that night. Yes, definitely get your Observer copies. We were talking about the insider cover.
Beautiful. Shout out to... I'm sure I'm going to pronounce your last name wrong. Christina, say it.
Say it. You got it?
I got it. Beautiful. Fantastic. Irish Insider graphic on the front. Really captures the mood. So go check it out.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Now we're going to do the part of the show I've been looking forward to the most. When Tyler mentioned this as a possibility.
Oh, we're doing it?
I was so excited. Right. We are going to Puck Doku because that is the official hockey grid.
You're not doing Immaculate Grid?
No.
Okay.
It's very fitting today. Because there is an NCAA category on there, which I have not seen. Okay. Horizontally, we have Columbus, Pittsburgh, and NCAA.
And if you play Puck Doku, by the way, and have not done it yet today, either pause this right now or skip ahead.
And then vertically, Montreal, Chicago, so both of your teams, and played on one team for your entire career. All right. Right. Any early thoughts? The play for one career team is usually an easy one because you can just pick someone who's played like two games.
I can crank through Chicago here.
Obviously.
I mean, Columbus.
Brandon Saad is one for Chicago and Columbus.
Roll with Seth Jones for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Saad.
Seth Jones is the obvious one.
Yeah. The Montreal NCAA, there was a guy that scored on Wednesday night and played here. And when he scored the opening goal of the season, I jumped screaming, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Mr. Jake Evans.
There we go. I got a 3% for Chicago and Pittsburgh with Trevor Daly.
Daly.
Yeah.
That's a good pull
I got
there.
2% on Evans. I'm surprised that more people.
That's
got to go up later today.
Everyone and their mother said Cole Caulfield, I'm guessing.
Ah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Probably right.
All right, all right, Chicago NCAA play. How about Vinny Hinostroza?
Ooh, Notre Dame poll.
Okay.
Need it.
I would say we should have some Notre Dame alums in that NCAA category.
Yeah, you would think.
Yes, all right. Columbus for one team. I'm going to go with the emotional one.
Wow, 0.5% for Hinostroza, by the way.
I'm going emotional for Columbus. I'm putting Matisse Kivlenix. Rest in peace.
Oh.
2%. I actually saw him play in person.
Really?
Yeah, he came in relief for Merzlikins in a Flyers-Blue Jackets game in February 2020. great young kid. Obviously, life and career cut way too short
mm-hmm.
by that fireworks accident a couple years ago. Pittsburgh one team. Drew O'Connor.
Oh, you know what? Sam Lafferty was a Penguin. Blackhawks Pens. Sam Lafferty.
Oh, that's a good one.
Love that.
I saw him score in person last January, but now he's gone.
1% for Drew O'Connor. Let's go.
Drew O'Connor, I watched play at Dartmouth. I love when Drew O'Connor played at Dartmouth. Yeah. Good
Ooh.
Player.
I mean, I got a 0.1%, but it's for the NCAA one team career one, which is like you should be getting like under 1%.
Who would that be?
Goal Farabee.
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
First goal of the season last
Joel
night for the Flyers.
Farabee. Wow.
The Beezer.
All right.
Yes, got the party started. So we still have Canadians, Penguins. I feel like there's a defenseman I'm trying to think of. Whose like name is alluding me. Casey DeSmith hasn't played yet for the Habs, has he
no,
not?
No, he didn't play. And we traded him away.
Oh, that's right, duh.
Yeah, so he didn't never
Vancouver
play.
Now.
Yo, Canadians and Pens aren't usually trade partners. That come think of it. Jeff Petrie.
There
right.
You go.
And then the guy to do is Ryan Poehling.
That would
be, I don't know how many people would get that.
Flyers legend Ryan Poehling.
Did he play for the Flyers?
He plays for the Flyers right now.
Does he? Oh my gosh.
He almost had a goal last night.
The hat trick he scored on last night of the season. Bob Cole's last game. Yeah. That was awesome. I really thought, you know, he's a guy that kind of got screwed by the Canadiens' lack of being able to develop players, which don't get me going on that. So
yeah. As a Flyers fan, don't get me going on it either.
we can both
So our one squared left, I think, is Blue Jackets Habs.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're gonna get a high number for it probably, so if you can think of anyone better but Josh Anderson.
Oh, yep.
And then who went? Max Domi went over.
Yeah, Domi
on the other
be,
side of that
would
deal.
The...
Oh, Domi, you could. Domi
yeah,
was
Domi
a Blackhawk
could get a good...
too.
Oh yeah, there you
true.
Go.
True. True.
Last year
on the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, he's gonna be a big piece of what they can do this year. I think adding some scrap to that team. He looked okay on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, taught my role for him for sure this year.
They're gonna need him to be.
Yeah. All right.
Joel Farabee. Wow. This is definitely the lowest mm-hmm. immaculate grid numbers I've ever gotten, and it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Yeah, the one team career one is always a boost to the rarity score, or lack thereof, I guess.
I love the NCAA category.
I always
More
hate when
that.
I hate those ones. I'm always so bad at those ones.
Yeah, when there
I
was
think
one,
of Caulfield and no one else.
There was one over the summer that was like, played on the Swedish national team, played on the Finnish national team, and an NHL team, and I was like,
I think I just didn't do that one. Every time I see like an Olympics one, I'm like, skip.
Yeah, the right, won a gold medal, won an Olympic gold, won a world championship gold, something like that. Yeah.
I'm just like going through national presidents. I'm like, Shea Weber, Brian Suter. Oh my gosh, why is no one counting?
Pekka Rinne.
Well, I don't have to put Rinne because Finland.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Which is annoying, but it is what it is. Okay. So we had fun with Puck Doku. We'll definitely be doing that every single week
because
I love it. all right. Do you guys want to do college hockey, look around now, or do you want us to go to the NHL?
I mean, we can probably just hit it real quick here.
Yeah, let's
some action last night.
Because there was some action last night that particularly Michigan State in the Big Ten, the big upset on the road at Air Force last night. And the thing that made me think of just here real quick is that, you know, reminded me a little bit of that Notre Dame loss at Air Force. Now,
ooh.
It was in the shootout, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an outright loss, so it impacts pairwise differently. But it was a little like, all right, maybe this team, that loss for me last year was, and I know they had Denver the night before, but that loss for me was like, all right, maybe this team has a little growing left to do. And I think Michigan State, probably the same takeaway. You know, they come into the season highly ranked, highly touted. They got a lot of talent on that roster. But you know, Trey Augustine, the highly heralded goalie, that's a Red Wings draft pick. He allows 5 in his debut. You know, he's a freshman playing college hockey, the starting goaltender. That's tough. So, yeah, that was a big result last night just to try to figure out what this Michigan State team is going to be all about.
Yeah, Augustine was pulled after facing those first 16 shots. It's a big drop-off, like you said, moving from a guy like Dylan St. Cyr to that, but even looking back to last weekend, you know, there was a lot of action right off the top. How about Providence going into Ann Arbor and hanging tough, earning a split with the Wolverines? I know you and I had Providence both jumping pretty high up, and the NCAA followed suit, moving them into the middle part of the rankings. We already saw Quinnipiac on the ropes a little bit. They were tested. They don't. They certainly don't look infallible this year. And then BU in action as well, getting our first look at them. BC had a big win, so they'll move up the rankings. Denver looked impressive to start with. Not a ton of really no rank matchups at all this weekend. That's more of a next weekend thing. Yeah. But this weekend, you got a lot of matchups between.
Be interesting to see. Go ahead.
Yeah, teams that we know are very good to elite against teams that could be right there. A lot of teams that we certainly had at the very least on our bubble for the top 20 rankings coming in. And you look at a Minnesota St. Thomas matchup. Yeah. Tommies looked great last weekend, I thought. Michigan against UMass and North Dakota against Wisconsin. How about Mike Hastings heading into Wisconsin? Wisconsin picking up a sweep with two shutouts. They dominated play against Augustana last week, and I know it was Augustana, but Wisconsin with a statement to open up the season. Alaska Fairbanks goes to Michigan Tech, now ranked number 9 after a road tie with Duluth. There's a lot of interesting matchups. Merrimack and Arizona State. Arizona State scored 16 in an exhibition last weekend. Yeah.
No, there are a lot of teams that I think that this weekend will be, and it's just going to be, we're going to be learning about them over the next few weekends, obviously, but there are a lot of teams that I think Wisconsin's one of them, like, that they face there. North Dakota hasn't played they scored a ridiculous amount of games in an exhibition. I think they had 10 or something against Manitoba. We're going to find out about them, but also about Wisconsin. I think that's the game that I have circled this weekend. Loved you bringing up St. Thomas. Was really impressed with them at St. Cloud. I think they're my two niche teams. One of them is St. Thomas, and the other one is and of course it is because I'm obviously a little biased. My parents went there. Is Maine put up almost 60 shots on RPI last night? Mm. They gave up 12, and they won 4-1. And they have a freshman, Bradley Nadeau, who's a first round draft pick of the Carolina Hurricanes. He scored 2 goals. And by all accounts, looked really good. And then Victor Osman, their goaltender, was really sharp last year, one of the best goalies in the Hockey East. So they're a team that I don't think we'll find out much about this weekend because RPI is just not very good. But I'll have my eye on them and the Tommies because loved what they did at St. Cloud. So should be interesting this weekend, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't we shift gears and go into the NHL for the last little bit of this show? I know you've got this right at the top, Tyler, and no surprise, Connor Bedard, NHL debut against Sidney Crosby, gets an assist. Blackhawks with another win against the Penguins. They've taken 2 straight in that building. Yeah, going back to that game last year that made me very happy.
Yeah, I will say the Blackhawk fans were a lot happier about the win at Pittsburgh this time than they were back in Anaheim because that was...
Yeah, it worked out. You needed it to work out just right. I remember seeing if they had... Yeah. That last game against the Flyers, if they had lost that regulation or if they'd won it, they would not have gotten Bedard. But they needed the 1 point and they got it, so it all worked out.
It's funny.
But in the moment,
how much consternation there was over that game to have it work out the way it did.
Yeah, and Chicago tied it with like 2.5 minutes left in the third period. Was it Athanasiou?
Yeah.
Who I think scored the fourth goal?
The fourth one... Well, I know the go-ahead goal was from Jason Dickinson.
No, I'm talking about Flyers Blackhawks.
Oh, Flyers, sorry. It may have been Andreas at the end there. I don't remember that specifically. I think I'd moved on to the Royals at that point. I was probably watching them start 4-12. But
I was gonna say
from one miserable sporting experience.
Yeah, really.
Yes, yeah, so Athanasiou was exactly 2 minutes left from Tyler Johnson. Both their Athanasiou's 20th goal from Johnson's 20th assist.
There you go.
Very satisfying. But yeah, and then Bedard, of course, getting his first NHL goal against Boston.
Yeah, that was a beauty. Yeah, you get down to the bottom of the right circle, take the shot, rebound leaks out behind that, and you just pick it up. You're a man on a mission, and you turn around and wrap it around that far post. Looked a little reminiscent of a Patrick Kane type of score, like the one he scored in Game 5 of the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs first round at St. Louis to win in overtime, keep the series alive. It'd go 7 and the Blackhawks would lose. But it was an impressive goal. He's looked good to start. Maybe not so much in the faceoff circle, but hey, what are you going to do? You're going up against NHLers. The nerves, I think, even for a guy like Bedard are certainly there. I mean, he's only 18 years old. This Blackhawks team as a whole is very, very young. You're talking about one of its top defenders as well, and Kevin Korchinski being only 19. off to a productive start as well.
Alex Vlasic, too. Lucas Reichel.
So,
they have 7 players on ELCs.
I got a question
for
you.
Or not ELCs, necessarily, but waiver exempt.
This is what's been picking the back of my brain. I think Bedard, I've been on the, like, since I watched him at the World Junior, I'm a Bedard believer.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a cornerstone franchise player. You know, I think he's going to be in the Crosby,
hot
McDavid.
Take.
Yeah, it's not a hot take at this point. You know, like it's not. But I saw on Twitter the TNT graphic. He scores his first goal, and it's got Wayne Gretzky 894, Connor McDavid 1, and the title is Chase
Connor
for Greatness.
Connor Bedard,
right?
Not McDavid.
Oh, sorry, Connor Bedard 1, and I was just like, this is too much.
I'd agree with you there.
What do you think about that? Like, I think putting this kid in a category with Gretzky is how can you do that to the kid?
That's silly. We got to focus on players who are actually on pace with someone like Wayne Gretzky. You know, focus on what Ovi's doing. I know.
Sure.
The Caps didn't start their season as early as the Blackhawks did, but no, I mean that's.
I just think that's a little too much.
You got to have some more respect for the great one. I think.
I think you throw him in a category with McKinnon. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's potentially. a good guy to compare it to.
Gretzky.
McKinnon won a Calder, I believe, his
Hold
first
on.
Year.
No. Yeah. Focus more.
I like that comparable.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, focus more on the players who are not the greatest of all time, but that got off to really good starts, had a lot of hype and expectations around them. A player like McDavid, although I know he got hurt early on. A player like McKinnon, like you said.
By Brandt Flyers legend, and then a guy who said racist thing in NHL game, Brandon Manning.
Brandon Manning.
Yeah, that.
Wow, I forgot about him.
That was an era. And yeah, he probably should be forgotten.
Given, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
given that incident, to say the least. But yeah, and I think it's also fair to hold the Blackhawks to the same standard as Nathan McKinnon's team in his rookie season, which was division champions with over 100 points. That was the PDO Bender Avs.
I think Tyler would be over the moon if that happened.
Just don't face Nino Niederreiter in the first round.
Yeah, that's not a good plan. Where's Nino at now? Is he still in Carolina?
No, Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, okay.
Went to Nashville and then Winnipeg at the deadline.
That does increase our chances of facing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We have to end a little early because I have a class at 10, but we got like 10 minutes left or so. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go through some of these previews we have here? So
let's do it.
Let's start with division champs. We'll start out west. We'll go with the Pacific first. I think there's really two candidates for this one realistically. LA's got a good roster, but the goaltending question marks I think puts them a step behind Edmonton and Vegas. Vegas, obviously, the defending Pacific champions and the defending champions of everything, basically. What do you think? Are they repeating, or is Edmonton or someone else going to jump them? Vancouver looked good on opening night, but I don't think they're that team yet.
I'm just spitballing here because I didn't get the time to prepare my actual predictions. And plus, I really stink at predictions, guys. Like, I don't know if you guys
are big
bracket challenge, but I find that like everyone's like, oh, you're definitely good at the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs bracket challenge. I'm like, no, the point is not to be good at it. That's what's so great about the sport.
We should have done are you familiar with the Down Goes Brown season prediction
yes.
contest? We should have done
hilarious.
Yeah. I did fill that out.
That may be something that we can look into.
We can do that
next
for
week. Yeah.
Well, 2 weeks. We won't have a show next
right.
week, obviously with break.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be early enough, I think.
Give me Vegas in the Pacific. I think it's hard to bet against the Stanley Cup champs right now. I think Edmonton has proven year in the last few years that they are, they're just still missing that thing that's going to make them take the jump as a team, right? And again, the goaltending, like we saw it on Wednesday night, they allowed 8.
Ugh.
Yeah,
8 I don't know
goals
why Jack
to Vancouver.
Jack Campbell started that game, right? I don't
he
know.
Started
he
the game.
I don't know why that was the play.
He allowed 4, and then they put Stuart Skinner in, and he allowed 4. Like, it's not, they refuse to answer the questions that everyone knows are issues for them. So I can't see Edmonton jumping them. Give me Vegas.
Yeah, bold strategy starting out with an 888 save percentage on opening night from last year.
Yeah, I'll also
21-9-4 though.
I'll also take Vegas. I think you're right. I think Vegas is a better team to trust coming off a Stanley Cup title and coming into this season with a bit more having been proved, especially in the postseason, than the Oilers. I think Edmonton at its peak and at its hottest is certainly a better team than Vegas.
Agreed.
With the way that players Agreed. Like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl can light up the score sheet. But it's just going to be a matter of, A, how far, again, can those players take them, and B, how many people can step up around them. I think Vegas, you've got more of a collective effort going right now, something that is a bit more sustainable than Edmonton, as we've seen. It's been 6 years now with the Oilers, with McDavid and Draisaitl having playoff opportunities, and they continue to not get it done. So, like you, I will take Vegas. I think it'll be tied. I think there certainly might be a point pretty deep into the season where Edmonton pulls ahead, but long-term, I trust Vegas more than I trust the Oilers.
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys there. I will say that Edmonton has much improved its depth from where it was a couple seasons ago. Like, we're not talking Drake Cajula on the top line anymore.
You're right. That is
true. Oilers
Good
team,
point.
They're basically a playoff lock, unless the goaltending totally implodes, which is possible. You never know, obviously. Central Division last year was won by the Colorado Avalanche, who went out in the first round of the playoffs then. They've got a lot of turnover up front. 7 new forwards for the Avs, at least on what Cap Friendly had their lines listed as of a couple days ago. Including an entirely new-look third line. Obviously, they bring in Nathan McKinnon's old junior pal, Jonathan Drouin.
A good friend of the Montrealers.
Yes, absolutely. this is probably, I think, a two-horse race with a kind of an outside wild-card third in Minnesota. It's really Colorado and Dallas here. And I know a lot of people are high on the Stars and what they did in the offseason and just the direction they're going in as a franchise, obviously coming off the Western Conference final run a year ago.
Yeah, I'll be intrigued to watch that matchup as well. Minnesota could get involved once again. That team was playing tough throughout the regular season last year.
Had a great tandem, obviously.
Yeah, no question.
Sorry.
No question. But I will take Colorado. Like you said, I think it's going to be tight. But I think we've forgotten about what the Avs can do a little bit, just with how quickly they exited the fold last season and how cold they went late in that 2022-2023 season. But the star power is still there. Even with the turnover up front, like you said, I think they're bringing in some players that can get it done and make an impact right away, like Jonathan Drouin. And I think Colorado, with its core that is still very much intact and secured a championship just 2 years ago, I think a lot of people at this point might be writing them off a little bit too quickly, and I think they're going to be hungry. I think they're going to come back, and I think they'll take the Central.
I don't know how I feel about this one. There's two parts of me. There's a part of me that looks at Jonathan Drouin and Nathan McKinnon next to each other and sees them in their Halifax Moosehead days and is like, "Ooh, that's dangerous." And there's a part of me that looks at a line chart and sees Jonathan Drouin on the first line on the left wing and says, "You're not going to win that way.
That's dangerous for your team."
Right. In Montreal, that's always where they saw him, and he never landed there. But they also never had Nathan McKinnon at center.
They should do what the Canadians always did and move Drouin to center.
They tried.
I was going to say,
They tried absolutely everything with Drouin. I think he played the left wing on every line and center. I don't know if it's center on every line, but he certainly plays center for multiple multiple parts of multiple seasons.
She moved him to left D.
I really like Minnesota. I'm gonna be honest with you. They're gonna be my pick. I know they're a bit of a young team with Faber, Rossi, and Boldy. Those three newcomers that, Brock had a goal last night. I think he'll be a Minnesota darling going from the Gophers to the Wild. I like them to be a bit of an upset candidate to win this division. They're going to be my wild card here. Although I do think what Dallas has done is impressive. Particularly, I like their D. But, give me Minnesota.
I'm going to say Dallas just because if/when injury strike, I feel confident about the Stars being able to score more than any other team. I will say with a caveat, though, they do need to improve their defense. Top four defenseman Ryan Suter, probably not a good idea in 2023.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe my Miro Heiskanen bias is shifting through here. But
yeah. All right, let's go. We can skip the Metro because the Flyers are winning that, obviously. 3-horse race last year with all three teams right near the top of the NHL standings. Carolina ultimately took the division. Devils and Rangers were very close behind. I think this one's a little bit more wide open, though, because obviously the Islanders were a playoff team last year, but a lot of people seem to think they're going to fall off. Pittsburgh with a huge offseason, obviously. Eric Carlson, the big headline move for them, but they made some other pickups as well. Riley Smith, Ryan Graves, Alex Nedeljkovic. Got Columbus with a new look defense. Washington obviously still has some pieces. I think this, honestly, the two East divisions are much more wide open than the West.
Yeah, I would agree with you, especially in that metropolitan. I think there's two teams that you can really key in on, unless the Rangers can really take a step back in the right direction. It's Carolina and New Jersey for me, and I think there's certainly something to be said about, you know, maybe a New Jersey team has a good regular season, has a lot of youth, but picked up tremendous experience in that seven-game series with the New York Rangers last Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think you can see them winning that division and then Carolina potentially having more success as a non-division winning Stanley Cup playoff team and having more success in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I will pick New Jersey. I really like its young pieces. I think they looked tremendously composed last season in the Stanley Cup playoffs after falling behind 2-0 to the Rangers, coming back to win that series really in dominant fashion. I think they're already ahead of the curve just with the way they've rebuilt that team, and I think this is the year that they really prove something in the regular season. Again, I do think there's a very real possibility that someone like Carolina or even the Rangers has better Stanley Cup playoff success than the Devils, but I will take New Jersey in the regular season.
I'll take Carolina. You know, I just like Slavin, Shea, Pesci, those three of those top four. I'll take them.
I'm not even giving Brent Burns any love.
No, I think Burns is old, but I mean...
He's old, but I think he's still
old,
useful.
Old, but effective.
Yeah, they've also got Dmitry Orlov just chilling on the third pair. $7 million number five defenseman.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, I'm going to go with Carolina, too. I just think their depth is tremendous, and they've got some good goals. They've got Mary Golden up to almost any team in the NHL, not just with Anderson and Ranta, but also Pyotr Kochetkov down in the AHL. So he's, if one of those guys gets injured, which they usually seem to do...
They've got depth.
He's there. All right. Last but not least, and this will run the show, the Atlantic Division. The Boston Bruins won this division last year. Of course, they won the President's Trophy, so the NHL record for single-season wins. Their first-line center is Pavel Zacha. James Van Riemsdyk is listed as their first-line left winger. Now, he's not their best, obviously. They have Brad Marchand. He's listed on the second line, whatever, however they want to shake it out. This is a very interesting division. Obviously, the Florida Panthers came out of this division in the playoffs, beat Boston, beat Toronto, went to the Stanley Cup Final. They're without Erik Ekblad and Brandon Montour long-term. Sergei Bobrovsky has not been a very good regular season goaltender for the majority of his time with the Panthers. He was good in 21-22, but took a step back last year and then was like, I'm good again in the playoffs. The Lightning are without Andrei Vasilevsky for the first 2 months of this season, and they're getting older, but still have all of their stars, even if they continue to lose pieces around the edges. Ross Colton, Alex Killorn, the latest to go. Toronto, obviously, a lot of turnover, both in terms of GM, but also the forward core with a new look to it. A lot of snarl, but some skill as well with Bertuzzi and Domi, as you mentioned. Ottawa's got some intriguing pieces. They've also still got to sign Shane Pinto, but that's maybe a story for another day. Detroit as well, with probably more turnover than just about any other team in the NHL. They obviously bring in a former Chicago star in Alex DeBrincat. Buffalo Sabres, one of the bigger teams on the rise. Coming into this season, they did go up 5 last night in their first game to the Rangers. I think this is the most wide open division by far, honestly.
Yeah, there's a lot of different directions this can go, and a lot of teams that certainly got involved heavily in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. But I'll take Toronto. I think again this could be the year. I don't know. we've been saying it since 2017, but
this is the year.
Put your foot in the ground.
I believe Steve Dangle, it's going to happen, at least in the regular season. But you look at even a player on that third line like Matthew Nyes, a guy we watched last year at Minnesota, a player who came in right away and contributed to that postseason team that finally made it out of the first round. I think he'll be an interesting player to watch. Adding to the depth, we already saw what Austin Matthews can do. He'll be the front runner for the Rocket Richard once again with a hat trick already to his name going back to Wednesday night. And then we're in a player like John Klingberg on the defensive side, a guy who has tremendous experience coming over from Dallas, a player who can put the puck in the back of the net. And then Ilya Samsonov, I think, is certainly one of the front runners for the Vezina Trophy in between the pipes for Toronto. I think it's going to be competitive, like you said. You've got some teams that are very well defined in the mix, like Tampa Bay, like Boston. Already saw the Lightning look particularly good on opening night. Bruins took down the Blackhawks as well early on, but I will take Toronto. I like their star power and some of the depth and grit that they added, especially further down on those forward lines.
I'll tell you who's not going to win it. Boston. Boston's not going to win it.
Will Boston make the playoffs, though? Because they could drop 40 points and still be a playoff team. You think they're dropping more than 40 points?
You make a good point. I don't know. I think there's a good chance that they don't make the playoffs. I'm going to take Toronto, too. I look for Tampa Bay to bounce back a little bit. I think you're right. I think this is the most interesting division in the league. I think it's going to be fun. And the teams that are going to make it fun, Ottawa, Buffalo, and Detroit. Having those teams, they're going to pull more. I mean, I use air quotes here, upsets. But they're going to steal some more games than they did last year in the division. So that's going to make things fun.
I'm being honest here. There's one team whose roster I look at, and they have an injury right now as well, so they could be even stronger. There's one roster that I look at, and it just seems really complete. Obviously, we talked about, you know, there's questions about Toronto's back end, Florida's back end, certainly with the injuries, Boston, you know, with their forward core, a lot of unproven guys there, the Lightning, you know, who's going to be their goalie, you know, who's is their defense good enough as well, too? Having Sergeyev ever great, but some unproven guys there as well, with Perbix and Radish, who were okay last year for them, Calvin DeHaan, new addition as well. The one roster that looks weirdly complete to me is Buffalo. I look at
he
that.
He said it.
I look at that
Buffalo,
team.
They're back.
He said it.
They've got one of the best center duos in the league in Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins. They've got the depth on wing, and that's without Jack Quinn right now. He's hurt for the first couple months, but he should be back. Jeff Skinner's goal song. Why can I not remember it now? It's not Party in the USA anymore. Oh, it's a High School Musical song. I think it's You Believe in Me or whatever the big Troy Gabriella duo is. As a Phillies fan, I can tell you the importance of vibes. And they've just locked up Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power as well to big extensions.
They've got vibes.
The vibes are there. It really comes down to Devon Levi.
Yeah.
Can he be a good starting goaltender? And can he also find a good backup between UPL and Eric Comrie? The Buffalo, they look good, man. They look really good.
So are you going to pick him to win the division, though?
No.
I want to, though. As I look at the question marks for them, seem lesser than almost every other team here.
I mean, I think Buffalo winning a division would be the ideal scenario. I'd love to see that.
I think all of us.
I'm a big fan of that Buffalo team too.
Man of the people, and since I have nothing riding on this, this is the ultimate high risk, low reward. Buffalo, book it.
He's doing it.
All right, book it.
All right, and that's how we're going to end the what return.
Go out with a bang.
Yes, with a bang. Make them want more. And they're going to have to wait a little bit longer than usual because obviously we timed this show so immaculately by starting right before fall break.
Of course.
Yes, literally like hours before. I have one credit lecture.
I have no class.
And yeah, I'm done after that, so I just have to sit through that, which will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we do have an entertaining guest speaker, so I'm looking forward to it.
Enjoy.
And I'm looking forward to next 2 weeks from now's show as well and an entire season of great hockey across college and Notre Dame from South Bend to Chicago to Montreal to Philly and everywhere in between and elsewhere. Thank you so much for listening to Five for Fighting Irish. We hope you enjoyed. For Tyler Reedy and Ryan Murphy, I'm Andrew McGinnis. Have a great week.